Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Man, after we've been on the air for 3 hours, it gets loopy in here a little bit.
Oh, no, it's all good, man. We rock at 9 o'clock. We get ready to rock this thing, man.
Yeah, bring that energy, Key.
Yeah, it's all right. Key's just got jokes. Key's got jokes and, you know, commercial break. It's good. You know,
I think Jake Billis is going to join us. We just had Paulie Feinbaum on. Who else?
Paulie Feinbaum.
Paulie Feinbaum.
Paulie's from Jersey now. Paulie Feinbaum.
We got DeMarcus Ware coming on. We straight.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Well, are you aware, Keyshawn, that Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance and that all guests join on the Goodyear Hotline?
I am now.
I love Progressive.
The Steelers won their fourth straight and 19th in a row at home on Monday Night Football. Boy, they don't. How many years has that been? Everyone's talking about the taunting call on the Bears' Cassius Marsh that you could argue cost the Bears a chance to win the game. The Bears still took the lead following this call, but we can talk about it. With 3:20 left in the game, Marsh sacked Roethlisberger on 3rd and 8. Okay, sacks the quarterback, 3rd and 8. Then he does a spinning jump kick to celebrate, which is his move. That's what he does after he records a sack. He does a spinning jump kick. The penalty that ensued extended the Steelers' drive and allowed them to kick a field goal to go up by 6. Justin Fields and the Bears responded by driving down the field and scoring a go-ahead touchdown on a pass from Fields to Darnell Mooney. Then Chris Boswell nailed a 40-yard field goal with 26 seconds left, and the Bears wound up missing a 65-yarder. So here's Marsh, the linebacker's perspective on what happened with the penalty.
I think that that one was just bad timing. It's pretty clear to everybody who saw it that I wasn't taunting. And, I've been doing the celebration my whole career, and, it's just sad to see stuff like that happen in a close game like that. It's just rough, man. I don't want to say too much because y'all know how it is. But the one thing that I will say is, on my way to the sideline, I got hip-checked by the ref, and it's pretty clear. If I were to do that to a ref or even touch the ref, you know, we'd get kicked out of the game and possibly suspended and fined. So I just think that was incredibly inappropriate, and that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, but I think when you start to stare down the sideline and walk toward the sideline, they're going to most likely throw the flag. Now, the referee backing up into him and kind of giving him a little bit of a chicken arm and then sliding into him, I think that convinced or encouraged the ref to actually pull the flag.
Ah, does he throw the flag if there wasn't physical contact between Marsh and Corrente, the ref, because Marsh thinks that's why the flag was thrown, right?
He started pulling it out. Like, he put his hand on it and started pulling it out as Marsh was headed toward the sideline, and then he started to get it. One of his teammates came over, so he reached up and he started to pull it, but he didn't actually pull it till the contact started.
Actually, the timing of it, he didn't reach for it until Marsh started turning around to come back to run towards him, and his hands on his waistline, but it's not until he gets bumped that then he takes the flag and throws it up, like, in a very demonstrative way.
He was like a bullfighter, like, ole!
A very showman-like
way.
Exactly.
He's on TV, though, now. So, you know, you got to make it look good.
I know, but it, like, okay. Well, this is what Corrente says. First of all, keep in mind that taunting is a point of emphasis this year. Corrente, the ref, said this in a pool report.
Define
and
taunting.
With that said, I saw the player, after he made a big play, run toward the bench area of the Pittsburgh Steelers and posture in such a way that I felt was taunting them. So
throw the flag.
It has nothing to do with the taunting. Marsh said that, and like, it was a hip check was the reason, right? Like, if you look at it, when Marsh goes by Corrente, to me it looked like, you said, the chicken wing or chicken arm, whatever you want to say.
Wing.
Yeah, chicken wing, yeah. Where he tries to catch him on the right side as Marsh is going by him. He misses. And then the ref stuck out his hip to clip Marsh so he couldn't get away without contact, and then he threw the flag.
Well, what's the incentive for the referee
I don't
to
know.
Do that?
But Key, let me ask you a question.
What's the incentive?
If you're a ref and you're watching, I'm watching Keyshawn Johnson going towards an opposing bench, staring, I'm throwing the flag. I'm throwing the flag. I'm not waiting for you to run by me and to body bump, booty bump me. You throw the flag. I don't understand why there's such a delayed reaction. He was watching him the whole time.
He probably saw him doing it. But you know how it is. He saw him doing it, but he didn't walk past him. He ran past him, and it looked like he might have been saying something. So I think that's what encouraged him to throw the flag. Like, he was still, whatever, hyped up and screaming or whatever the case is. And the ref was like, oh, okay, I'm going to quiet you down. Bam.
Or let me propose an alternative theory. He kept his hand up. The grassy knoll, okay? Look, even as a point of emphasis, that was weak. To call a penalty on that is weak, especially when it's a dude's signature move after he scored. Right? Okay, so that's the first thing. Then the second thing is he tried to catch him with the arm, missed, hip checks him. To me, it looks like this is what it looks like. I'm not saying this is the referee's intention. From where I'm sitting, it looks like a story that would fit the facts is Marsh said something to the ref. I don't know. Something happened. Corrente was looking to get him. That's what it looks like. Wanted to get him on the taunting. Man, it's not enough. Oh, wait a minute. If he makes contact with me, ooh, missed him. Ooh, got him. Now I throw the flag, and I'll say it's for taunting. Like, he was like an adding up of stuff. I'm not saying that's what was in his heart, but it fits the facts.
So what happens to the referee now? Do they investigate the ref? Do they suspend him? Do they punish him to some degree? Because I'm sure the Chicago Bears are going to put in some sort of request to have an investigation on what the referee was doing. I mean,
You would think. I don't know if it's slick enough. Like, even though that's what it looks like to me, or to you, or someone else.
I think it looks that way to everybody. Yeah. What he did.
But is it slick enough in terms of walking that line that you can get away with it? That's the question.
I don't know. Tony Corrente has been around for a long time in terms of reffing. I mean, I know him. He's ref games of mine before. I don't know.
The motive does seem weird.
Like, what is he doing it for?
What would the motive be?
Can I give you another point that I saw last night at the end of the game? I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, Mike Tomlin wins his 150th game.
And it's a lot of games.
You know, we talk a lot about who the MVP of the league is, and you're sitting there saying Lamar Jackson because look what he's doing it with. I'm sitting there saying, okay, like, there are a lot of great coaches, what Cliff Kingsbury's been able to do in the league with the Cardinals, you know, what Sean McVay's been able to do with the Rams. You know, Titans, all these good coaches. But you're sitting there saying, speaking about what he's doing with the people he has, and Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, he tried to air one out last night. You can just tell his arm is not there. I'm sitting there saying, damn, Mike Tomlin is doing so much with this squad. The fact that they're one game behind Baltimore. They're one game better than the Browns.
Yeah.
And this record 5-3, that's incredible to me.
I think a program like SC should give him an interview.
Give him a shot.
Give him a shot. Give the guy a shot. I mean,
give him a call, Key.
I mean, the fact is, Tomlin, that's why I keep picking the Steelers. Any game where I'm like, they could maybe win that game, I'm going to put that in the win column because he's not going out with like a 6-win season. It's just not going to happen. It's not him. He's too competitive. And by the way, Belichick, I got to say this too. But, you know, no Tom Brady. You missed the playoffs and now you're struggling. But they went 7-9, two plays away from being 9-7, and now this year they're 5-4. There are some coaches, some people who can't be in a losing situation. They're not going to let it happen.
They're going to be a 10-7, 11-16 is what they're going to be.
It's a lot.
Yeah. No, you got to think about it. New England Patriots, they're not going to lose.
Oh, the Patriots.
Yeah, the Patriots are not going to lose 4 and 5 more games. They're just not going to
do Steelers?
That. Steelers are what, 5-3?
5-4.
5-3?
5-3.
Okay.
5-3. They're not going to, same thing. They're going to be one of them 11-6.
It's crazy.
They're going to be one of them 11-16.
It's crazy.
They're not going to, they got 8 more games to go. No, they got 9 more games to go. They're not going to lose half of those games.
We had Mike Tannenbaum in here earlier, and I was saying this, and this is the way, I'm sorry, it's like the dumb sports pundit way to think about it, but that's me. So, guys, NFL games can flip on such a little thing, a call here, an interception, something like that. If you have someone with a track record, 10-plus years, above 500, double-digit wins, and you never see them below 500, there's something about them. at a certain point, it's not just, well, they were lucky to do this. There's something about them that's winning, right? Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson, that's why I'm even looking at the Seahawks. Everything that's gone wrong for the Seahawks, never one time nine wins, otherwise above double digits, right? Tomlin, always over 500. Belichick, back to their winning ways. You can't just write it off to, well, they're fortunate to be in this position. It's something about coach.
And I give him a lot of credit because, you know, look, stay with Big Ben. And Big Ben has led them to these wins.
You think he's going to win a playoff game, though?
I'm not going that far.
No, see, that's the problem.
But
I'm not going
that far. But he could win a playoff game. Neither. What if he draws the Indianapolis Colts?
Possible.
Right?
Possible.
Or what if he draws the Cleveland Browns? Or what if he draws, you know what I'm saying? Like, what if he draws the New England Patriots?
Yeah.
It all just depends. You can win a playoff game.
A playoff.
Getting into the tournament is the key.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline.
Hey.
And we now welcome in DeMarcus Ware on the Goodyear Hotline. Only made about 100 million Pro Bowls. What's up, DeMarcus?
What up, D?
Hey, what is up, fellas? Thank you for that crazy introduction, man. I know we got a lot to talk about today.
What's happening, big country?
Hey, man. Good, man. I'm just getting up this morning, getting everything going.
You just getting up. You should have been up. Where you at? What part of the country are you in?
Oh, no. I was up at 4:15.
Okay.
Morning.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
I get up early, but my body hasn't woken up yet.
Mm. Well, understood.
That's what's good. I'm glad that you're going in the direction that we all are at 4 a.m. in the morning.
We'll get to USAA in a second, but let's talk some Cowboys first. What was the biggest reason for the Cowboys' struggle against your other former team, the Broncos?
I think we had a setback in what I saw last year, and that's stopping the run. We didn't control the trenches on defense, and that, to me, that's where I think we have won a lot of football games at the beginning, where you control, you know, the line of scrimmage on both sides of the field, and we didn't do that. I mean, that got sacked a lot. And then you can see the defense. I don't know who number 33 is, but he ran that football like it was no tomorrow.
Hey, D-Ware, you played alongside Von Miller. And I want to ask you real quick. Von's no longer in Denver. What will he bring to the Rams when he finally takes the field?
You know, first of all, I'll just say that he brings like a lot of charisma, but also pressure from the edge. He's one of those guys where, yeah, you can drop him back where he can drop back in coverage, but he can rush from the left and the right. And when you have that beast and Aaron Donald now in the middle, not just them being able to focus on him now, now you got two monsters. Like when I was there and we won the Super Bowl with me and Vaughn, now you have that same thing, but now somebody in the middle. And I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Let me take you back really quickly to the Cowboys here. You know, we got a chance to hear Mike McCarthy explain to a degree why he had Dak in the game at the point where it was 30-0 practicing or simulating a 2-minute drill. What are your thoughts about having your quarterback who has a history of injury on the field at that juncture of the game?
I mean, you know how some coaches, they'll leave the players out there to, you know, get extra work. But the thing is, you got to also think about, you got a quarterback that's coming back off of injury that probably still banged up a little bit. I saw a couple of guys get banged up in the game. I would have took them out. I mean, if it's 4 minutes left and you're losing by 30, I would have took them out and put, you know, what's that? Rush. I would have put Rush, you know, in the game and let him go.
When you, DeMarcus, you look at Dak Prescott this year opposed to the last couple years, what has impressed you so far coming off those injuries in the way that he's playing?
I think just the consistency in how he's been playing. Injury after injury, he's always come back and bounced back a lot stronger. I mean, he was 6-1 now. You know, he's just lost with only two games and still looking at being the top in the NFC East. So he's one of those guys where he bounces back. But, you know, one thing that I want to see is bounce back into the playoffs. Like, no matter what, you can always bounce back from them injuries. You can get a lot of stats, which we all know that, Keyshawn. But when you start thinking about the postseason, I want to see him get into that postseason. And then that's going to solidify him as that, to me, that solid guy.
Is this team a Super Bowl contender, a legit Super Bowl contender?
If they play like they played the last six games, yes. If they played like they played last week, I would say no. They would lose the first game in the playoffs because they would have the lack of confidence that they had last game. And it's like that tenacity. I didn't see that tenacity that I usually see out of the Dallas Cowboys that they played the last, you know, six games. If they can play like that, yes, they are a Super Bowl contender.
Hey, what have you seen from Parsons so far this year for Dallas's D? What excites you about him, and where do you think he needs to continue to improve?
You know, it's exactly what I wanted to see. I've been mentoring him a little bit this year, and I wanted him to just get out there and play. You know, make plays and show what he's capable of no matter where they put him out on the football field. And that's what you want as a rookie. Eventually, you'll get to a point where you're even more effective at what you do. But there's always room for improvement. You know, you want to see more pressure because he's sort of that pressure guy right now with DeMarcus Lawrence being out. You want to see them big plays and tackle for a loss, those interceptions. I want to see more out here. You know, as Bill Parcells say, as Keyshawn, you know, understands, you know what, if you're not out there, I can't evaluate you. So you're really not on the team. So if you're not making plays, I don't know who you are. I'm not talking to you. That's one of those Bill Parcells slogans. So I want to see more out here.
Trayvon Diggs was making plays early in the year. And it seems like he didn't scare anybody off. They're still going at him. And now he's not making as many plays. What's your evaluation of his season so far?
I think he's been having a phenomenal season, how he's been playing and what he's been doing. But, again, you got to show consistency like that every single game. If you give me an interception every game, I want an interception every game. If you're Micah Parsons, if you're sacking the quarterback every game, I want to see a quarterback sacked every game. You know, the expectations are really, really high. So for him, he's been playing well. But guess what? I expect more. I expect more out of him because he's a phenomenal. He's a great player. So I want to see more of those big plays because those big plays have been getting them over the hump also in those games, and those are game changers.
DeMarcus Ware, former Dallas Cowboys, Super Bowl champion, Denver Bronco, and my former teammate joining us are Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. DeMarc, Vic Fangio, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, for whatever reason, he felt like the Broncos have the blueprint for beating the Cowboys now. Should the Cowboys be worried about him sliding that blueprint to other teams throughout the NFL?
You know, as they say, the eye in the sky don't lie. And the coach doesn't have to say anything. Everybody's going to go back and watch the tape, see exactly where they messed up at. And the next team that they play, they're going to have some of the same exact plays. Even if they're not part of their blueprint of plays that they usually run, they're going to try in many ways to see if they can stop them. So no matter what, it doesn't even matter about Vic Fangio. It matters of, are you going to be able to stop those same mistakes this next week? Because I'm going to try it again.
DeMarcus, tell us what you're doing today on behalf of the veterans as you join us.
You know what? You know, with Veterans Day, I've always been, you know, a big advocate of, you know, just Veterans Day and teaming up with USAA to sort of encourage all Americans to sort of step up and step out and support. I mean, 2.5 million veteran-owned companies, right? And people don't understand that there are veteran companies that own donut shops, pizza shops, so on and so forth. And it's hard for veterans to transition from the work into the workforce from the military force, right? And so I just want to people just really participate, and I want them to sort of give us a little extra on their social media, and I want them to put a V on their hand, draw it on there, go into a veteran-owned company, take a picture with that V on their hand of their palm, and then just post that, right? And, you know, hashtag honor through action. So we're trying to honor people through, honor the best through action. And sort of bring awareness to, you know, the whole, you know, vet community. And it's just a great opportunity for me to be part of this because my family is a big military family, and just really trying to give back and help where I can.
Mm-hmm. DeMarcus Ware, ladies and gentlemen, We appreciate you jumping on with us, DeMarcus. I was trying to like think of a nine-time Pro Bowler. Nine-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
A lot. Some respect on that man's name, Max.
Yeah. No, I was trying to think like, wait. So I looked up. I was like, it was nine Pro Bowls, right? And I looked it up, and it was also four-time first team, three-time second team. Yeah. Thanks, DeMarcus, for jumping on with us.
Thanks, D.
All right, thank you guys so much.
One of the world's most famous coaches for the final time at the world's most famous arena.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
I was on a hot streak into that waste paper basket, guys, until the last five shots. I'm like one from my last five. We are joined now on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max by ESPN's very own. Jay Billis, of course. So
we call him the czar of basketball.
The czar, yes.
The czar of basketball. That's what I call him.
Yes. Key just, he always likes to show me up. If I miss into the waste paper basket, Key reminds immediately to crumple it up and hit one from longer range. Let's see.
That's right. Yeah. All right, JB. So I did my top five, but obviously you know way more about college basketball than I do now. Let me get your thoughts. Number five, Michigan. Number four, Kansas. Number three, Texas. I heard that's an iffy one, Texas. Number two, Gonzaga. Number one, UCLA. What are your thoughts?
I like UCLA at one. All those teams are capable, so that's a good top five.
Uh-oh.
I think Duke is way underrated right now.
I love when you do that, by the way. You always build me up. You say, I think all those teams are
great.
But
but, I mean, the truth is none of us really know. At this time of year, you don't know. They didn't know in college football. They had Clemson, what was Clemson number two?
Yeah.
And they're almost, you know, they were 500 for a while. So we don't really know. There are new pieces some of these places. The good news about college basketball this year is we've got an unbelievable crop of freshmen and – all these transfers and guys coming back. We've got more really good players coming back this year than in any year I can remember, you know, except if you go back to the 90s or something when, you know, back when guys stayed. But, you know, we're going to have guys that are 25 years old playing this year because of this extra year of eligibility.
It's
pretty remarkable.
They can actually go rent cars now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like Kentucky went from like ridiculously young to AARP.
Jeez.
They're the oldest team they've had since the 1950s, I think it is.
Wow.
And, you know, they've got a bunch of transfers coming in. So together that team has logged over 13,000 minutes of college basketball. And a number of them are 24, 23 years old.
Does that help, like, the Kentuckys and hurt the Gonzagas? Like, does that help the programs that you're expecting, like the one-and-dones, because now you combine that with experience – on the other hand?
Yeah, they're just a different type of one-and-done. So they're an older one-and-done. You get a grad transfer in, they're only there for a year, but they're 23, 24 years old, and they've got a ton of experience. The only problem, as you guys know, is they don't have experience in your system or experience playing with the other guys in the program now. But I tend to think that they can adjust faster than a bunch of freshmen can. But, you know, like Kentucky's going to be really good this year with all the transfers they've got in. But I don't think they're going to be as good as they were when they had the super talent of like 2015 or something like that. When you bring Karl Anthony Towns and guys like Tyler Ulis, guys like that, they were much better. And Devin Booker, like they had NBA All-Stars on that team. And they don't have that with these guys. They got like solid, really good, like maybe make the NBA or solid European pros. So which is not bad, by the way. European pros are still good players.
Still good players.
So Jay Billis, I have to say that because if I just say Jay, both of you would be like, huh? But does that mean like these guys at Kentucky, you could just go and play? You don't have to necessarily implement a strong system in there because of their experience and they haven't played a whole lot of basketball
together? No, it's a good question. I think you still have to implement the system that works for that personnel. But like John Calipari was saying recently, like he forgot that with older guys, like you don't have to tell them to be on time. You don't have to shepherd them around. You know, they know all that stuff already. So you can just get down to the nuts and bolts of this. And they understand leadership a little bit better and team dynamics and how a locker room is supposed to work. So you're not like doing kindergarten stuff of college of how to acclimate them to how this is going to be difficult. They know, like they step into this Champions Classic, they know what a crowd's like. They know, you know, they've looked out in the crowd and seen celebrities and stuff like that. They're not going to be as wide-eyed as a freshman would be.
Jay, I haven't spoken to Coach K in a little bit. Obviously, we both know how he gets bogged.
He seemed a lot happier. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah. Well, his team's definitely not turning the ball over at the same rate they were when I was there. But you have spent time with him. Huge year, right? Makes an announcement. This is his last year coaching. What's the kind of energy he's given off? I mean, obviously, I know he's fixated and focused, but does it feel different being around
it does.
There?
He seems, Jay, like ridiculously happier than normal. And he's not he's always a happy guy. You know, there's certain times you run into him that you don't want to maybe not hang around. If you or me said something he didn't like, or if you turned the ball over or made a mistake when you're playing for him. But one of the reasons I think he's really happy right now, he really likes his team. They're really good. And then the other part of it is he knows what's coming and, you know, he understands like, okay, this is it for me. And then he hasn't had to recruit. Like, he hadn't been on the road recruiting all summer long. So he spent all of his time on campus, at home, with the players. So he feels like, oh, I know these guys better than I have in a long time. And all my energy is going where I want it to go.
And by the way, John Shire has one of the top recruiting classes he landed for following year.
Right, and he's out doing it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be his team and his players that he's recruiting. Coach K hadn't had to do that. He's dealt with players when they've been on official visits or all that stuff. But you know, it clearly there's been a lot of wear and tear saved because of that. So I think he feels better. He looks better. And I think generally he just seems like in a really happy, good place. Now, that'll change when he gets a bad call tonight. He won't look happy then. But I think he's in as good a place as you can be.
I just always wonder, you know, when you see Kobe do his last year or D Wade, it becomes such a big thing. Every town you go play, you know, there's somebody praising you, and I just wonder how the team, like the kids on the team, are going to, not kids, I know, the men on the team are going to handle that emotional ride.
Well, he's thought about that. I mean, we actually talked about it. You know, he's not going to spend as much time talking about, well, this is my last year, I'm doing this, you know, and the feeling of the players feeling like they have to win for him instead of win for themselves. Like it's his last year, but it's also the last year this particular team's going to play together. It's the only year this particular team's going to play together. So it's going to be about them. He can't do anything about – he can tamp down a little bit of it. He can't do anything about the stuff we say. You know, we're going to be, this is the last time Coach K puts his socks on in Madison Square Garden, you know, stuff like, we're going to do that stuff. And he's going to get gifts. My thing is, like, he should have a registry like a bride. Because you might as well get stuff you want.
Yeah. And then cross it off the list. You go, Yeah.
Like, so, you know, the garden, when they give him something, they don't just give him some, like, a piece of the floor. If you give him something, he's going to hang on a wall. It's never going to see a wall.
Right.
Because he's got so
got no
much
wall space.
Stuff.
Well,
he's
wall
got
space
so much
all gone.
Stuff everywhere. It's crazy. Like, there's no, you go into his office, there's not one, you can't tell what color it's painted because everything, wall space is totally taken up. And it's true of his home and all that. So he, you know.
A registry is brilliant. Like, that should be the new thing. Yeah. People on farewell tours should have a registry. Yeah. And they
golf
get
clubs.
Everything they want.
Yeah. I need a 3-wood. You know, whatever. He doesn't play golf because, he, you know, I think he looks down upon those of us who do. But
good man.
Yeah, I think it'd be perfect.
Jay, what type of stress level do you think Coach K will be going through knowing this is his last year and he's trying to get that last title?
That's funny, Key. I don't think it'll be a stress level. I think a lot of the stress will be gone, frankly, that he can concentrate on what's important. He's not going to be distracted by some other things like recruiting, which is a constant thought of coaches. You know, it's not just the team you have. It's you got to be recruiting to make sure that you have a team the next year, and it's a good team. So that's a stressor that is gone now. I don't know that he's necessarily looking at it. You know, I have to win a title in my last year. I think he wants to make up for last year. Like last year, not only the team didn't perform as well as he wanted, but it just was a negative experience going through the whole COVID deal. It was for everybody.
It was like last year was like 8 years ago.
Yeah. That was only a year ago?
Yeah. Isn't it crazy? And then now they're going to be fans back. And so things are starting to feel normal. So I think being normal again will remove – it'll feel like it's less stressful than last year. I really believe that.
I'm an idiot. It doesn't even occur to me that his day-to-day experience, no recruiting, like completely off his plate. What does that even do to someone who has to spend so much of their energy and everything doing
Max,
that?
Even last year was virtual. I mean, John Calipari would say, man, I wish we can change recruiting to being virtual. I don't have to get on a plane after a game and go talk to a kid in the middle of nowhere and then come back and coach
middle
my team.
Nowhere.
Well, I mean, it's true.
No,
I mean,
I know. I'm just thinking like the middle of nowhere.
But there's a lesson there. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, the energy you put into recruiting that you think is making an impact usually isn't making that big of an impact. And, you know, it's kind of like when we were younger, you know, you got recruited. Yeah. They sent you letters. You know, now you get text messages all the time. But you know, somebody got the idea of, I'm going to send Keyshawn Johnson, I'm going to send him a letter, five letters a day. You know, and they think you're out working. Meanwhile, you're throwing all those things away. Like, I didn't read half those things. And
I didn't read any letters either.
Yeah.
For different reasons.
But why would you go out and waste all this time recruiting and babysitting guys? They feel like if they don't, they're at a disadvantage, and they're probably not.
Same letter Jay Billis and Jay Will got, I got. Same exact letter.
Right. That's Jay Billis, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in tonight for college basketball action as Kansas takes on Michigan State and Kentucky battles Duke in the Champions Classic. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Champions Classic is tonight's hot ticket, brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. We've got to get into the MVP's early exit.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. Yep. I wonder if this was playing in Markieff Morris's head at first.
Get out of the way.
By the way, this album, back in the old days when you had those CD alarm clocks. This album was one of the best albums to get you out of bed in the morning of any album ever.
I wonder who highlighted that. Somebody, we played this over, was it Marshawn Lynch? We might have played this like over his B-roll a couple times when he's running people over.
This whole album was great. This Ludacris album was great.
Luda.
Nuggets center and NBA MVP, Nikola Jokic, who, by the way, you can make an MVP argument right now. Like, Jokic is balling still. Is facing possible suspension.
No.
Markieff Morris fouled him.
That was my horn.
And turned his back. And Jokic fouled him harder and knocked him down. And Markieff looked like he maybe had whiplash at first. I don't know. But let's put it this way. He definitely was acting on the hardwood like he was a basketball player, not a football player. He acted like he was seriously hurt from it, but then was able to like get up and walk around. So Denver won the game 113-96, but emotions ran high afterward with Miami's Jimmy Butler shouting toward the Nuggets and needing to be held back. Heat coach Eric Spoelstra called it dangerous and dirty. Well, it was dirty, and I suppose it was somewhat dangerous, right? You could get whiplash or something like that.
You could hurt somebody.
Yeah, you get whiplash.
Because if I'm not expecting for it to I'm not expecting you as I'm walking away to slam me in the back aggressively.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
and especially his body did the wave like it does with whiplash, right? I'm serious.
That was an aggressive attacking style.
When you see something, you're like, ooh, he might have whiplash. Markieff did respond like a guy, like it was a whiplash.
First off, the foul on Morris was a non-basketball play. Yo.
Right.
Straight up. It was non-basketball. Wasn't going for the ball. Right. It was like a hockey. He's like he was checking him against the glass, even though there was no glass.
Although Markieff fouled him.
That's what I'm talking about.
His foul, he could see it coming.
It was. That's right. And it was a basketball play.
I feel you on that. But
it was extra.
When it's a non-basketball play, now you're really trying to foul me hard. So when he did it, he just turned around and walked. I'm not, once again, condoning the actions of Jokic. But like that's just like basketball scuffle to me.
Yeah, Jokic had a natural emotional reaction to a hard foul. Like, hey, what are you doing? But because he's 7 feet tall and a wide body.
260 pounds.
When he did that to a guy's in the back, you know, and Markieff is a big dude too. But Jokic is a whole lot.
I don't see you coming. I don't see you coming.
Here's what Jokic had to say about it.
It's a stupid play, you know. I feel bad. I'm not supposed to react that way, but it's in the middle of the game. I got hit. I saw him, but I didn't even like. I thought it was just gonna be like a take foul, you know. So and he kind of bumped me, and I was like, that was a little bit like he. I think it was a dirty play, and then I just needed to protect myself. I felt it bad. I'm not supposed to react that way.
Hold on. Rewind the tape. Did my man say bum bump?
He kind of bump me.
Bump me.
Bump?
He kind of bump. Like the Kevin Hart bump?
Like a bump bump.
It's a bum bump. It's a bum bump.
That's what I'm saying.
It's hold you down. Blah, 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 blah. He gave me a bum bump.
It's a bum bump.
Yeah, I just looked it up to see what I just looked it up to see what Jokic is averaging this year so far. Now, granted, it's early. It's
MVP
10 games.
MVP conversation, brother.
32 minutes a game. He's dropping 25.5 points. 13.5 boards, almost 6 assists with a block and a steal and a half.
What's he shooting from the field?
Okay,
Yates, from you can
the
chime
field,
in.
From the field, 68%.
Okay,
on two pointers. Excuse me, 40% from three. He's taking four threes a game.
Okay. Yates,
field goal percentage on the season, 61%.
What do you think about that, Yates?
I don't know why.
Poor guy swept, dog.
It don't matter.
Hey, man.
It's not a postseason award.
He didn't have Jamal Murray either.
He piped it up like he was going to carry them to the finals.
Without his second best player?
Yes.
Who does
get him.
That?
Get him, Yates.
Come on, man.
Get him.
Going, oh, well, you know, they didn't have
what?
Everybody.
Oh, yo, Yates, what did LeBron do without AD last year? What are you talking about?
They lost, too. Everyone.
There you go.
Yeah, so?
There you go.
You're going to play sounds. Hold up. What did KD do when he lost his guys? You want to play sounds when – about KD and LeBron?
You just compare LeBron James to the Joker.
Max, this is the real thing, though.
It's a bum bum.
KD.
I'm going to say y'all cannot like the way he plays because it's not sexy. He's one of the
great
top
to watch.
Five players in the league.
He's great to watch, Jokic.
Get him, Yates! I'm leaving it open for you.
Jokic is amazing.
The passing, the dexterity, man, his shot.
The dexterity,
like y'all
man.
Y'all just
you got to watch it.
This man.
He could take you down
you
low.
Like
he can shoot
plays.
It from outside. He's one of the best, maybe the best big man passer ever in the conversation
sure.
That's
cool. But the best setter in the league right now, even though he got COVID, you know, his team is number one in the East.
Well, I would say Embiid over Jokic. I would take Embiid over Jokic by a very little bit game for game. But Embiid missed too much
time last year. I'm taking Jokic over Embiid.
Okay, that's fair, but I'll take Embiid.
Because I'm not sure Embiid's going to be on the floor. Last year was the first year he kind of proved he didn't get
hurt. You know, that's why I said game for game.
And Jokic got MVP because he played every damn game.
That's why I said game for game, but I'll say this about Embiid. Jokic is amazing offensively. So is Embiid. You could give Jokic the edge. But then Embiid is a defensive game changer, too. It's the whole other side of the floor.
Jokic's
Embiid
is better defense.
Yeah,
he
but
is
Embiid is different.
But I'm gonna take Embiid in this one, especially Embiid shows up in the playoffs and stuff like that, I'm a roll like that.
But it's close.
We'll see. What do you mean Embiid showing up in playoffs, man? He had 8 turnovers in that game when he lost to the Atlanta Hawks.
If he can show up in the playoffs, I'm going to take that.
He's gotten better and better in the playoffs.
I agree. Yeah. I find it really interesting that every Philly fan, and I get it, there's a lot of animosity for Ben Simmons. But you go back to that Hawks series, Ben was just – I'm like, y'all put everything on Ben. Like, a lot of coaching there, and there's Joel Embiid there too that last game.
Can we be real about that? Doc Rivers was playing an all-bench unit that was getting slaughtered. If you really want to talk about what lost the series, that's really probably what lost the series more than anything.
Yeah, but also, speaking of the MVP, Steph Curry dropped 50. They 9-1 right now.
Say it again.
Kevin Durant, yeah.
Say it again.
Ja Morant in that conversation.
It's a bum-bum.
Yeah.
It's a bum-bum.
But you know what, Jay? The fact that they're 9-1 and Klay is not there yet, they're 9-1 and Klay is not there yet?
9-1 and he dropped 50. And when Klay get there... See, I'm afraid, though. I'm afraid for my Lakers.
Yeah.
I'm afraid, man.
Just wait till the second half. Westbrook
I get
is gonna
it.
Figure
I understand.
It out. He always
LeBron
does.
To be healthy, you need eight. AD, you okay?
He's a 60-game-a-year player.
I hear you.
60 games. You can't expect him to play more than 60 games a year. Just be realistic. Oh, I can't wait
Melo,
for the NBA to really heat up.
Melo doing his thing, though, Key. Dropped 29 last night. He giving buckets.
He dropped 29. Yep.
All right, correct.
I don't want to. No suspension for Jokic. Let's stop.
I think that's borderline. I think that's a borderline. If it could be a game for me, could be a game. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Greeny's next. We are back tomorrow, Pooh.
It's a bum bum.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.